Well, here we are back in Newtown with one of our favorite guests that sadly we met over the most tragic of circumstances. Scarlett Lewis is back with us. She founded the Jesse Lewis Choose Love movement to honor the memory of her son, who was one of the victims of the tragic Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in December of 2012. Choose Love Awareness Month is in February. We're smack dab in it here on Super Bowl Sunday, and we're going to be talking about the excitement around their theme this year, being an illuminator. Scarlett's going to talk to you about being an illuminator, so we'll get into the conversation. But first, I have to say, Scarlett, I'm a little intimidated. Oprah Winfrey, a tough act to follow for the award-winning For the People, but I'm sure listeners would like to know, how was it hanging out with Oprah?
It was awesome, and I just want to say I was the special guest of the special guest there, James Kimmel Jr., who was talking about his recent book, The Science of Revenge, and I'm really researching that new science. It's actually incredibly important to school safety, to anti-bullying, even wars, because what they found is that revenge is at the foundation of all of those. And it's fascinating when you look at how revenge happens in our brain. It starts with a grievance, and if you think about the pathway to violence, as per the Department of Homeland Security, and of course, I've been studying school safety for the last 13 years, and it starts with that grievance, and that is the end of the scale that I've been focused on. That grievance is what leads up through violent ideation, research and planning, preparation, probing and breaching to attack. Mm-hmm. Now, most of our efforts for school safety have been focused on the attack end. I chose the grievance end because I thought, wow, we could give kids skills and tools to manage their grievances, even grow through them, so they won't escalate into violence, substance abuse, mental illness. How about just reduce and prevent the suffering? That just made common sense to me. But what this new research shows is what a grievance looks like in our brain. And it's really interesting. The grievance happens in our pain center. And when our brains realize that we're in pain, they want to give us relief. And the way that they do that is pretty much giving us a desire to get even. Mm. Our brain thinks, you know, kind of that eye for an eye is justice. And so when we do something back to the person who hurt us or someone else by proxy, we actually get a hit of dopamine.
Yeah, you and I have talked about the whole fight or flight thing many times. Is this the fight component of the fight or flight, the need to sting back when you're stung?
Well, now that's really interesting because it's not freeze, fight, or flight. That would be the trigger, and that is your body's survival mechanism, and it is not that. So we understood that. This goes beyond that. This goes beyond you and I having a disagreement and me having an emotional reaction, the trigger, maybe my cheeks get flushed, the hair on the back of my neck stands up, and I'm in a little bit of freeze, fight, or flight then, and defending myself. However, when I leave your office, John, and I get on the phone with my mom, and she says, "How was your meeting with John?" And I say, "John was not nice, and this is what he did," and start talking about you, in that gossip is literally a sort of part of revenge. Yeah. And revenge is considered dangerous because it is when we take pleasure in someone else's pain.
Oh, so like you get pushed around and a half hour later you kick the dog.
Yes, because you haven't resolved it in your own mind. So you can resolve at the trigger, which is what we teach in Choose Love. So we have a disagreement. I say, "John, you hurt my feelings. That takes courage. You know, a lot of people, some people, I won't say a lot, don't know how to do that or don't feel comfortable or good enough about themselves. You say, I'm sorry, Scarlett. I didn't, you know, mean to be mean. I was tired or whatever. And I go, that's okay, John. Basically, I forgive you and I let it go. Forgiveness is key. And forgiveness is why I was on Oprah, because interestingly enough, the research shows that forgiveness is the only thing that stops the pain in the pain center in the brain. So in other words, forgiveness is the only thing that stops the trajectory of revenge. Revenge is not healing. Revenge, it absolutely stops the pain. Yeah, yeah. And so this is why it's so critical that we teach the power that forgiveness gives us. And of course, this is what I've been doing for 13 years.
Right, yeah, that's the deep roots of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love movement.
Yes, absolutely. It's a formula. So it's courage. And of course, a lot of times we need courage to forgive somebody who's hurt us. It's gratitude. It's looking for the good, remembering that there's always still good. It's forgiveness, which is dropping the heavy weight of grievance and resentment and frustration and anger and hatred. And then it's compassion in action, which is literally taking what you've learned and helping others with it.
Yeah, talk more about that, because we're in a time right now where you know, the revenge and everything else you talked about, it is this massive weight that now that you say it, it seems like so many more people are under so much more of it. And yet the formula, you know, the couple of pain relievers that you take to stop it is as easy as trying to find forgiveness in your heart.
Well, it's really true. And you can, now that you sort of have an understanding of what revenge looks like, you can look at news reports, look at what's happening in our world, and you see revenge stamped all over the place. And you also know that revenge does not have a good ending. And what we can do ourselves is take a step back from the fray. Stop consuming fear, because remember, you're either in fear or love, and they both come from different parts of the brain, and the outcomes are vastly different in your life. The modeling that you do for your kids, take a step back, pause. This is what we call a choice moment. Pause and get curious, really deeply curious about what's going on. That curiosity moves that information from your fear center to your prefrontal cortex, where the highest and best version of yourself. Ask yourself, what does the highest and best version of myself look like in this situation? How do I want to model myself for my kids? And that is really where the choosing love part of the solution comes from. That's where we can access courage. That's where we access gratitude, which helps us be optimistic and hopeful, which is really important for these times. It's where we can access forgiveness, which stops the pain in us, as well as the desire to off-put that pain onto other people. And then the compassion that we can feel for ourselves and other people. Really, when you feel compassion for others, when you're looking at these newsreels and you're feeling compassion for both sides, I'm using sides in air quotes, that is when you are truly in control of yourself and operating from your highest and best self.
So is that compassion the handle you've got to pull and the key tool in the Choose Love toolbox, if you will, to reach out for in desperation when you're in that red hot, angry, want to get back at them moment?
That's a really good question, John. And that's when I go back to the formula, because the formula is neuroscientifically accurate and designed to bring your personal power back within you. When you are, you know, yelling and angry and fearful, basically anger, hatred, resentment, it all is a mask for fear. You are not in control. And so the first thing that you do is practice courage. And it's that courage to pause. When you feel triggered, when you feel that way, pause. And we say, take a brave breath. And a brave breath is literally a hand on your heart, one other hand on your belly to make sure that you're blowing it up like a balloon and not raising and lowering your shoulders, which activates your sympathetic nervous system. It's going to make you more anxious. But if you blow your belly up like a balloon, that actually activates your parasympathetic nervous system and you start feeling calmer. So you take a breath in through your nose for 4, out through your mouth for 6, and then you get curious and you start really thinking about what's going on, who the players are, that they're all human beings, and that there's a lot of pain going on. And in that pain is where you can see the light of humanity in both sides, in everyone that is handling that. I always say, look for the 10% that's right. Instead of looking and focusing on what's wrong, which is what our brains would have us do.
It's easy.
Well, that's absolutely. Well, it's the way we're wired for defense.
Don't seek revenge, but it's lazy.
But if you pause, yeah, this does take a little bit of effort, John, but it's the best way to live and be the best version of yourself. And you know what? If it wasn't a little hard and take a little effort, everybody would do it. Mm. But you see that a lot of people don't even know how to do it. And so you pause, you get curious, and you look for the 10% that's right in what the other people have. You look for the plight of both sides, and you start to feel this empathy that is maybe surprising because you didn't feel it before. That helps you move towards forgiveness and compassion. So you really have to do the formula in order, which is courage, having courage first to pause. It does take courage to think about your thoughtful response. Otherwise, you react in anger. Mm-hmm. But if you pause, that's when you can thoughtfully respond. The gratitude and a regular gratitude practice is the number one way to be resilient because it helps you be able to remember the good in those difficult moments and not lose control. And then forgiveness is what allows you to put down your pain. And that pain that you can carry with you your entire life weighs down everything, including relationships with your kids, everything that you do. We don't even realize it. And sometimes it's a little scary to lay that down because who would we be without carrying around the burden of what happened in our childhood and things like that? It's not who you are. Mm. It's harvesting the gifts from those painful times and using them to help others. And that's what forgiveness helps us do. Mm. And then the compassion, which is when everything comes full circle and you're fully back in your body, you're in control, you don't have that hyped up, angry feeling, but you feel love. And that is choosing love.
A lot of information coming at folks, especially if they're listening at 6 or 7 on a Sunday morning. But folks can capture all of this just by going to ChooseLoveMovement.org on the web and getting to know and maybe investing in the Choose Love Movement themselves, bringing it into their workplace, into their school, into their home, and all of the other places that you have seen it, into correctional environments and all over the world, into different cultures and religions. It's spectacular. But here we are in February, Choose Love Awareness Month. Prior visits with me, you had talked about the starfish. You had talked about the ripple effect. Mm-hmm. What are we going to go to work on this Choose Love Awareness Month?
So this month, we're celebrating being an illuminator. Now, illuminator is someone that is present and actually makes someone feel seen and heard. Think about how good that feels, you know, especially in today's society when we're all glued to our phones and we kind of walk by one another and go, hey, how you doing? And you don't really think the person means it.
It's their eyes aren't on.
They're not even on you, right? Yeah. They're busy doing something else. And so an illuminator is somebody that actually takes the time, makes you feel valuable and worthy and loved. And this is a basic human need that often goes unmet. It's that seeing somebody else, but it's also being seen yourself. And if you think about it, to be truly seen for who you are takes courage. We go back to the formula, the courage to be vulnerable, the courage to sit here and take off a mask of who I think you want me to be,
who you think the world wants to see.
Right? That's exactly right. Or you know, if I don't feel good about myself, the person I think that the world wants to see, it's taking that off and it's being who I truly am and letting that shine. Because the truth is, John, we are all unique creations. We have our own fingerprints, our own eye prints, our own brain prints. There is nobody else like us on earth. We have our own individual experiences. We come at things in a completely different way. And only we can give to the world our gifts and talents and our true purpose, why we're on this earth. We all have a purpose. And so being able to be seen and heard is a basic human need that often goes unmet, especially in today's times. This is really near and dear to my heart because, of course, for the last 13 years, I've been focused and literally dedicated my life to keeping kids safe and well. And but with that research, I think I've said to you before, I actually speak to school shooters. And all of them, of course, different situations and different stories, different kinds of pain, but they all say the same thing. And if I had to boil it down to just a few words, I would say that they don't feel seen. And so if we could do that earlier, and it takes effort, it actually takes effort to be an illuminator because you have to show up. You have to stand in front of the person. You have to make eye contact if possible. And you have to get curious, ask open-ended questions. You have to spend time. But the payoff is so incredibly worth it. I was giving a presentation to an elementary school at one point, and I invited a little girl on the stage, and I didn't know how this was going to turn out. I said, I'm just going to, let's pretend like I'm getting off the bus and I'm walking by you and I'm greeting you in the morning. She goes, okay. So I walk past her and I go, hey, how you doing? You know, like that, friendly and everything. And I walk past her. I came back and I held the microphone up to her mouth and I said, how did that make you feel? And she said, fine. And I said, well, think about it for a minute. And like, really, really, how did it make you feel deep inside? She took a breath and she said, it made me sad. And I said, sad, which I didn't expect. Right. Why is that? And she said, because I didn't feel like you really saw me. I didn't feel like you really cared. Mm. And I said, can I have a do-over? So I went back off the stage and I came back on. I literally took a step over so that I was standing in front of her. Actually, I asked her name first. Mm. I didn't even know her name, right? Yeah. I asked her name. Then I went back, came on. I said, and then I took a step over. I said, leaned over. So I was her height, looked her in the eyes. I said, hi, Kendra. How are you this morning? Fine, of course, you know, but I asked her some open-ended questions. I said, we'll see you later, and walked away, came back to her. I said, how did that make you feel? And she said, loved. Mm. And that was really an amazing moment for me and I think the whole school because just that little bit of extra effort made her feel go from sad to loved. And I think we all have those moments every day where we just really want to be seen and validated as the humans that we are and heard and made to feel valued and like we're enough just being who we are. And this is a really important aspect that, you know, we might be losing a little bit because of phones and all the distractions and busyness out in our world and fear.
Well, we could do another 20 to 60 minutes just on this, you know, phenomenal headspace I'm in now, just thinking about so many people who kind of, you know, face the individuals who have done them the most harm, typically in a judicial or a courtroom environment. For somebody who's lost a child in a school shooting to go out and actively solicit conversations with school shooters, man, that is a constitution I'm not sure I've ever encountered in my life.
And can I tell you, John, when I sit with them and I listen to them, I see the light of humanity within them. I see them for who they truly are, because yes, what they did was heinous, but that is not who they are. They are actually a human being with incredible stories and incredible remorse and incredible desire to be part of the solution. So I'm able to see beyond the mask or the label that we give them as evil and murderer and school shooter, to see the light of humanity. And here's, I think, the important aspect of this. We all have the light of humanity within us. And I will say and truly believe that every action is either an act of love or a cry for love. And if we would understand that as a society, we would come to empathy much quicker, and we would have much fewer cases of violence and bullying and school shootings, if people just felt seen and heard as human beings, and if others could see the light of humanity that lives within us all.
Which goes back to the Illuminator.
Absolutely, which is being an Illuminator.
And a great way to wrap up our conversation for now. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Scarlett Lewis is the founder of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Movement. You can learn more about this year's Choose Love Awareness Month. Find all kinds of tools to use in your home, perhaps your workplace, certainly in classrooms. Scarlett and her team are available for you for consultations and anything else that they could do to help spread the word. ChooseLoveMovement.org is where it all starts. Your investment in it is always appreciated. It keeps the movement going and keeps incredible conversations like this out in the public eye, which is what my job is. So thank you, Scarlett.
Thanks, John, very much.